Wayne nodded as the trucks ahead waited to cross the highway.
Well then, Hoyd, that's all I know about how to pickle vegetables.
Thank you.
It's all right. I'm a bastion of useful information, I am.
Can I have my harmonica back now?
Wayne fished in his pocket and brought it out.
I traded you fair for this.
You did nothing of the sort.
I did. The trade is in the glove box. You're always too watchy for me to slip things in your pocket. How'd you get so good at that anyways? You're a rustin' coachman.
Practice. A very great amount of practice.
He opened the glove box, and a bright white creature with a long, hairless tail peeked out.
Wayne? A live rat?
I call him Sir Squeakins. I wasn't gonna bring him, but he snuck into my pocket, he did. So I figure that's the 17th time you've let him escape his cage, Wayne. Better give him to someone responsible.
You are a uniquely bizarre individual.
Hoyd smiled as the rat crawled up his arm.
But trade accepted, I guess.
Great, great. He likes strawberries and booze, but don't give him none of the booze because he's a rat.
Noted.
They waited at the edge of the wide roadway. And Wayne, he'd had this feeling all day today. Something was happening, something important.
You ever feel like you wish life was like the stories?
What do you mean?
Well, there's always a good ending in those stories. The ones my ma used to tell. They meant something. People. They were worth something.
I think we live stories every day. Ones that we will remember and tell. And shape like clay to be what we need them to be.
The last story my ma told me was about a lawman. Funny, huh? That I'd end up becoming one. Except he was a hero. And I'm... well, I'm me.
You do yourself a disservice, Master Wayne.
Can't be no hero if you were a villain, Hoyd.
But in most of the stories, it is the villain who knows the hero best.
Wayne chewed on that, watching the flow of cars on the road ahead, and found himself imagining that roadway as a river, because a part of him wished that what Hoyd said could be true. Then he waited some more. And some more. Damn, someone really ought to come up with a way to make it so cars that wanted to cross had a better chance. Maybe you could hire someone to stand at the corner and fire a gun in the air when too many cars were blocking the way and frighten them to move faster. Anyway, that zooming of cars, that road could be a wide river. Yeah, a river of stone and steel. Faster than any other river in the world. He smiled, remembering a calm, beautiful voice that had kept his world solid for so long.
Yeah, there's a bandit to be chased, but it's still wrong. Where's the hero? He should be here, but he stayed behind.
In a lull, Hoyd gunned the truck and they scooted across. Pretty good, considering. You could cross even the fastest river full of the worst kinds of rocks if you were in a bigger rock yourself. No need to fly, like Jack had in the story. This wasn't cheating, it was just a smarter way, it was. Followed by the last of their convoy, they pulled into the dim warehouse lit by some unlatched windows up along the tops of the walls. Why put the windows up there where nobody could see out of them? Oh, right, illegal stuff. Yeah, that made sense.
Thanks for the ride, Hoyd.
Wayne pulled out his gangster hat, a worn wool cap traded off one of the thugs they'd caught.
You might want to keep your head down if this next part gets shooty. Hope it won't, though.
Understood, Master Wayne. Best of luck.
Wayne nodded, and it was time to become someone else. He scrunched up his face, squinting like Frennis did. That was the guy he'd gotten the hat off of. A fellow Wayne's height and age, but more weathered. By time, by smokes, by the things he'd done. Wayne already wore a wig to change his hair color, along with a bit of rubber on his chin to square it out, and some makeup to sink his eyes. With the hat, he was Frennis, missing only one thing. He climbed out and swaggered. Frennis sure knew how to swagger. Vendel, wearing the cycle's body, a man named Granks, met him outside the truck. The others waited quietly. All those dirty Connors in the trucks would jump out only when they had someone important to catch. Someone more than a bunch of useless low-level cretins. Not that Frennis was a cretin. He just needed work, you know? You started by taking a job at the docks, but work there grew tight, and the schedules were so bad. Then you heard your friend Vin had a job with someone who paid better, and all you had to do was move some boxes. Who could get into trouble for moving boxes? Even if you did have to keep a gun on you at all times and be ready to shoot. He swaggered in beside Vendel in his fancy suit and fancier body.
It's uncanny how you do that. You imitate a person nearly as well as one of my kin.
Just gotta find someone what looks a little like you and make up the difference. Also, stay in character.
Right. Right.
The Condra wasn't half bad, considering what a fussy little thing he normally was. He wore Granks' body well. A gangster who had proven himself enough to be elevated. Given a title and some authority, while the rest of them were basically hired hands. They crossed the vast chamber toward two fellows who emerged from the perimeter. Indeed, a lot of fellows began moving in. A good 40 armed men. A local gang. That was more people than the constables had.
We'll have a surprise, though.
And the trucks were armored, offering cover. It should be fine, with Wayne and Marcy, not to mention a faceless immortal on their side. Milan was quite the fighter. Vendel should be handy in a scrap, too. The two fellows who stepped up to meet with them wore work clothing. Suspenders, trousers, buttoned shirts. Not good enough. They needed at least a suit. The rank that Granks would report to, and preferably a sequence, or even a fully promoted series. There were only a couple of those in the set at a time, though. And one leader, the key. Wayne Frennis didn't want any of those important jobs. He wasn't interested in wearing the fancy clothing and drawing the gunfire. Pay him his wages and let him pretend he wasn't doing nothing wrong.
Cycle?
The stouter of the two men nodded. He would probably be a fellow named Dip, according to the interrogations. Or maybe he was one named Embryer. Whoever he was, he glanced at Frennis, but didn't say anything to him directly.
You can leave the trucks. Gather your men in the two vans outside and head home. Your success has been noted.
Fine, but I need to talk to the sequence. There's an issue.
The radio isn't good enough.
I have reason to believe the radios are compromised. The sequence is here, isn't he?
That was Wayne's suggestion. The leader types, they always hung around and watched. Didn't trust good, honest-ish thieves like Frennis to do their job right. So, yeah, a higher-level member of the set would be here. Somewhere. Sure, as Frennis wasn't Frennis right now, but was somebody kind of close, as close as someone could get unless he could wear Frennis' bones, which was cheating, and that was that. Anyway, important negotiations. Life or death. Surrounded by 40 armed men. Better pay attention.
Aye. We'll convey your message to the sequence.
That won't be good enough. There is a problem. A very large problem.
The two thugs looked at one another. Damn, they were suspicious. Wayne glanced at the people at the perimeter, who would need only one offhand comment to start shooting. So he made a quick decision. The fellow wouldn't be the one named Dip, because who would put a guy named Dip in charge of anything?
Aye, Embryer. Can we talk a spell?
The stout man glanced at him, then nodded. Wayne waved him over, and they slipped to the side. Vendel started up a conversation with the other man, going over the inventory they'd been able to acquire. The thug thumbed over his shoulder.
The cycle never cares about things like this. Just does what he's told.
Brain like wet concrete. Can you believe he's the one what got chosen?
I can believe it. He never questions. Unlike you.
Aye. I only question when my paycheck is coming.
Don't we all?
Embryer shot him a sideways glance.
You've been getting some sun?
Damn, the makeup hadn't been light enough. Could he get the man to ask after his father? Wayne had some good info for the real Frennis on his father.
You know, heavy work. Like Dad always said, best work is the kind you do with your arms and back.
Yeah, but don't you live in a cavern?
I don't live in a rusting cavern. What, you think I'll stay down there in the dark?
How's your sister?
Sister? Oh, rusts. Wayne glanced at Embryer. That smile.
You stay away from my damn sister.
Just asking.
Embryer raised his hands.
Ruin? No need to come out swinging.
Look, Cycle isn't acting strange. He's worried. Saw some Lady Connor sniffing around our base. Dark hair. You know the one?
Rusts. Why don't you say so?
I just rust indeed. But Cycle wants to report it. Thinks he'll get... you know whose attention. For spotting a corner what we know is likely to be around. Rusting idiot.
But Embryer had gone a little pale at the implication that the Cycle wanted to draw Trell's attention. Best to ease away from that. Wayne threw his arm around the fellow's shoulder and walked them back toward the others.
Sides, you can forget my sister. I met this woman. She'd be great for you.
Really?
Sure. She thought Ulip was handsome.
Ulip? The Kolos-blooded who looks like a frog?
Same one.
Embryer shook his head.
Insanity.
He nodded to Vendel.
I'll go get the sequence. You can start your men unloading.
Vendel turned, waving for the process to begin. Hopefully Marisi would keep her head down, like Wayne had told her. She was too damn obvious, that one. Needed to learn how to scrunch her face up and become someone she wasn't once in a while. Really helped with the self-loathing.
Still shouldn't have crossed the river without the hero.
The two thugs jogged to the rear of the room and opened a door.
Seriously, how do you do that? You don't even have their bones.
Gotta have fewer sticks up your posterior, Vindel. Yank one or two out and you'll see.
It's patently unfair. A mortal should not be able to stand beside one of the bearers of the contract and seem a fair match to their skill in imitation.
Oh, jealousy. Smells like cherry blossoms. Also, stop breaking character, you sod.
Finally, two figures in nicer clothing stepped from a darkened room at the back of the warehouse. Perfect. That was what they'd wanted. Hopefully, the waiting constables could... Suddenly, the outer door slammed open and figures in brown began flooding in, pointing guns at the thugs.
Drop your weapons! This is a sting!
It's the heat!
Wayne slipped his gun out of his holster. Vendel grabbed his arm.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne let his arm be lowered.
Right, I forget sometimes.
But these weren't their people. What the hell? All around, the thugs were turning. But nobody fired, because more and more figures in brown were pouring out. At least 100 constables, wearing the shield and tortoise, symbol of Bilming. These were local constables. Marisi's sting had just been stung.